Let's give God a praise clap this morning for how good and how awesome our God is, for how awesome and amazing our Savior is today. Well, thank you for being with us and worshiping with us here at Life Community Church. As we are getting ready here in a couple of weeks to do something monumental for our church, we're praying and excited about what the Lord has for us at Life Community. We're getting ready to step out on faith with a spiritual growth campaign, which basically is we're praying that God stretches us, basically. We're praying that starting in a couple of weeks that God will stretch us more than He's ever stretched us, that He'll teach us more than He's ever taught us, and He'll get us ready for something new and exciting. And that's going to happen through the use of Bible studies, in-home Bible studies that we're going to be doing, and through the sermons, and talking about a really big topic about why God puts you here, your purpose, your meaning, your value as a human being, and what God has for you. And that's coming up in a couple of weeks as we get ready to do that. But as we prepare for that spiritually, we've been preaching a series of messages to kind of get ready for what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks about growth. And we're talking about growth God's way. Now, we've already kind of established that we need to understand growth before we embark on a big campaign like we're getting ready to do. We need to understand what growth is and what it isn't. And as we've talked about, many of us have had some really weird ideas about growth. And we think that God doesn't want a church to grow numerically, but we kind of busted that open because a number just isn't a number. A number is a person, and a person matters. Amen to that? People matter. People are very valuable to God. So God wants us to reach people, to love people, to connect with people, and help them to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then last week, we talked about how not only does God want to grow our church, God also wants to grow our love. He wants us to be a loving community that shows love and demonstrates love in practical ways because Jesus demonstrated His love. And remember what it says in Romans, but God demonstrates His love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is the gospel, that Jesus died for us and gave His life for us. And we know that. But as we're talking about growth, and we're talking about how God wants to stretch us and grow us and take us to the next level, there's another topic that we need to cover today, and that is the fact that God wants my community to grow as well. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And I'm going to read it in whole, and we'll have it up on the screen for you. But let me go ahead and read it. It should be in your bulletin, kind of in sections on the back of your program, if you follow along in your program. But here's what it says. It says, "And He," that is Jesus, "personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry." You can underline in your Bible that He gave these people for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry to build up, there it is, to grow the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, that's Christ. From Him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual gift. Father, may You bless the Word. Help me to preach it faithfully today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Kenny, what in the world did you just read? What was all that stuff that you just rambled out of the book of Ephesians right there? Well, we're going to explain it. Hang in there. We're going to explain that real quick. But here, let me give you the background and the gist of it. Paul, the great apostle, the man who was touched by God, who was to preach to the nations, he's writing to a local church in a city called Ephesus. And he's writing to these group of Ephesians, these people, these Christians in the city of Ephesus, and he's teaching them about Jesus. And in the process of teaching about Jesus, he tells them why God has given pastors and teachers and evangelists. And he goes through this whole list of why there are church leaders. And he explains this, why there's church leaders. And he basically goes on to say that they've been given to train the other Christians, they've been given to help equip or to train the other believers so that the body of Christ may grow. And he talks a lot about the maturity level. Now, when we talked a couple of weeks ago about God growing our church, we talked more of the fact that we need to be out and about winning and sharing the gospel, bringing our lost friends here. But today I want to shift gears a little bit because yes, we need to bring people to church. Yes, you know my heart on that. We need to bring as many people as we can. If our friends or neighbors are unchurched, we need to let them know this is a loving, safe place, but a place that will preach God's word and will lead us to Jesus. We want them to know that. We want them to come. We want to invite. But here's a question. What do we do once we get them here? What do you do once you come to church? Why are you here today? Well, as I look in the scriptures, the Bible says that the apostles, the evangelists, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers are supposed to help train the Christians to grow in their walk with God. Some of you all just went recently through our 301 class, which is all about ministry. And we talked a little bit about that, about the need to be involved in ministry and to be serving God and doing stuff. And how my God-given role is to help the church and to help guide the church, to help you discover how God can best use you. That's one of my God-given assignments as a pastor. And so today, as I think about that, If we were just to get a crowd here on Sunday mornings, if we were just to get people here for the sake of being here and to say, hey, let's pack it out, let's get 100, 200 people here, 300 people, and then if we did that, all of a sudden in our brains we're thinking this, mission accomplished, everything's great, we got 200 people here, 300 people here, 400, whatever, mission accomplished. And as I read in Scripture, that is simply not the case. That is simply not the purpose. Actually, those that give their lives to Jesus and that discover Christ and are saved and born again, they are babies in the Lord. They are babies in the Lord. So listen, if you are one of the many folks, of the 26 people that we baptized last year or this upcoming year, within this year, you're a baby in Christ. Now, I'm not trying to insult you or to, you know, to say, oh, look at how immature you are or anything like that, but it's a reality that if you're new to the faith, you're new to the faith, and you need to grow. You need to mature. Therefore, you just don't need to come to church. You need to be actively involved in the community of the church. Now, today, we're going to talk a lot about community, and I want to just define that real quick before we go any further. That community, we're not talking about our community like Owensboro, Kentucky. What we're talking about community today is our church community, our church family. You may want to write in your notes, community equals church family today. You are going to be talking about our church family. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we accept the Lord, and now we're put together with each other in the body of Christ. Now, many today need this Christian community. You need to be more than just a person who comes on Sunday morning. Mary Nelson said this, and I like what she said. She said, Christians need a Christian community. Why? Because it's the glue that keeps us together when we disagree. It's the glue that keeps us together when we disagree. If we don't have a Christian community, the first time we disagree with each other, boy, we're out of there. We're giving up. We're tossing the towel. It's the glue that keeps us together when we disagree. But she also said it is also the gasoline. It's the gas that keeps us going through the tough times. You know what? If you ever have a hardship or a problem that you're dealing with, boy, it sure is nice to have somebody come and pray for you, isn't it? Isn't it nice when you fall in tough times to have somebody that you can call and pray with and for them to minister with you? Isn't that wonderful? Church family does that. So it's the gas that keeps us going through tough times. It's the glue that keeps us together when we disagree. But third, it's also this. It's the guts it takes for us to take risks when we need it. When God is calling us to do things, sometimes that's scary. That is insane. That is nuts. It freaks us out. And you might need a Christian brother or a Christian sister right there with you say, you know what, it is scary. It is very much a step of faith, but we're going to do it together. We're going to step out in faith together. We're going to do this together. And so what's great about having a church family, it bonds you together. It keeps you together. It presses you forward in tough times, and it helps encourage you and strengthen you to do what God's needing you to do, because you'll have somebody there that's going to pray for you and encourage you as you take that step of faith. So as we approach this Christian campaign, this What on Earth Am I Here For campaign, here's what's important. We're setting some big goals. 200 on September 15th. 80 people in life groups. I mean, this is some big goals that we're setting. But but what I'm trying to say is this. And if that's all we did was get 200 people here and 80 people plugged into life group, I'd praise the Lord for that. But if that's all we did, we'd be falling so short of what God intends for us to be as a Christian community. We'll be falling short. So my prayer, my hope is that we will begin to grow as a church family. That we will grow together under Jesus Christ, together as a church family. Yes, numerically, but even more so than that, spiritually and with maturity. So with that being said, many of us today, we're going to just have to kind of take a step of faith and allow God, hear me on this, to move us from being Sunday morning only people to being actively engaged in church family. Now, that's a big step for some of you guys because some of you all are brand new to the faith. You're giving church a chance again. Hopefully, more than that, you are trusting in Jesus and not the church. But hopefully, you're trusting in Christ. And this is tough. I mean, getting you through those doors was an act of God. Amen? Right? Amen? And now this weird dude's up in the pulpit telling you that you need to do more than just be there on Sunday mornings. Yes. But I want to try to show you from Scripture today that there's a reason for that, that you need it. It's the guts, it's the glue, it's the gas that you need a church family today. So real quick, I want you to see this, that we need today, if you're following along in your notes, we need equipping today. We need equipping. If you look at verse 12, why does God give us apostles and teachers and pastors? Why? Why has God called Kenny Rager to be a pastor? Why has God called Kenny Rager to start a church with his family and with you, a great church in this community? Why is that? Why did God do that? Well, you ready? We're going to learn why. Look at verse 12. For the training of the saints in the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. So if you just break that down real quick, it says that pastors and teachers and prophets and all these folks are given to train the saints in the work of the ministry. Ah, well, Kenny, I'm exempt. I'm not a saint, and I don't have a ministry. Oh, hold the phone. Yes, you are. Yes, you do. Well, wait a second, Kenny. What do you mean I'm a saint? Well, let me tell you, not all of y'all are saints today, and some wives are saying amen today about their husbands, right? Not all of us are saints today, but here's what it is. A saint is not somebody that gets their name on a wall or somebody that a church votes on. A saint is somebody who has given their life to Jesus Christ. That's it. If you have given your heart to Jesus and Christ has come in and done a new work in your life, listen, you are considered by Scripture a saint. Well, Kenny, I'm not a saint. You don't know what I've done. Isn't that the great thing? It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus has done it all. He makes you a saint upon belief. Isn't that wonderful? He's the one that does it. So now with that being cleared up, if you don't know Jesus, you're not a saint. But if you know Christ, you're a saint. Well, Kenny, I sure do mess up. I know. I didn't say you're perfect. I just said you're saint, you know? I didn't say you're perfect. I just said you were saint. And the reason you're a saint today is because Jesus, by his blood, has made you that way. Not because you deserve it. You don't deserve it. Wives, amen for their husbands, right? You know, all right? Well, you don't deserve it. But Jesus has done it. And that's what he's done for you. He's justified you. He's made you righteous. That's the glory of the cross. That's wonderful news today. And he makes us this way. And you're ready for this? And because you're saved, he's in your life, you are born again, forgiven, redeemed, justified, made right, all this awesome stuff, you also have a ministry. God has something he wants to do with you. You have purpose, you have value. You just have to discover what that ministry is. A role of pastors is to help you discover that ministry. And it's not like we're some sort of magic dude with all the answers or anything like that, but we're to help teach the Scripture and to help walk through the Scripture, to help get you plugged in, to help you and to coach you in those ways. Now, let me help you with this real quick. Many of us, we go to church with a messed up view. And this is our messed up view. You ready? We say this stuff. I want to go to a church where I can be fed. We say that. Then we say, I want to go to a church where I can be ministered to. What if I turned it all upside down today and I said Life Community is not a church where you come and be fed at, but it's a church where you come to feed other people? What if I said Life Community is not a church for you to come and be ministered to, but it's for you to go and minister to people? Boy, that'd mess everything up, right? Surely Kenny doesn't believe that, does he? Yes, he does. Why? Because you're not just supposed to be a bump on the log. God's got big stuff for you. You don't believe that, but He does. He's got big stuff for you. His goal is not just for you to be another number on the roll. You're to be plugged in, serving, making a difference, doing great things for God's kingdom. That's why a lot of churches never gain momentum. They never gain traction. They never make a difference in the community. Why? Because people wrongly think that the pastor is supposed to do all the ministry. He's supposed to do everything. You know what happens when the pastor does everything? They get to a crowd of about 80 people, and it tops. You know why? Because he's reached his limit. He can't be stretched further than that. It's impossible. But you know what happens when God begins to mobilize you for ministry? And when you begin to step up and serve, and you do hospital visits, and you pray for people, and you win people to Jesus, and you're doing the work of the ministry, you know what's awesome about that? Is that there's not just one minister of the church, there's 100 of them. There's 100 of them. And God is doing a big work. But it's going to take a shift. Now here's the deal. The reason we need to be plugged into a Christian community is so we can be equipped. You're never going to understand how God has wired you and how God has configured you, how God has mapped you out, unless you're around a Christian body. Because it's within the Christian context, within the Christian body, that other Christians will help you identify that. Other Christians will work with you. They will minister with you. Here's what's wonderful. Look what Paul said. He said that unity is a result of this. So when we're ministering and doing the work of the ministry, when we're serving and actively doing what God wants to do, he said that unity will be accomplished. Isn't that wonderful? It's almost like when we do nothing, we're totally in disarray. But when we're serving, we become unified. It's so amazing on Sunday mornings when we set up and when all the boxes are going here and there and the cables are going everywhere and cookies and crackers are going in there and coffee's coming in here and all this crazy stuff. It is amazing how much laughing happens during that, how many smiles are going through that time, how much prayer we pray, and we're being unified. And a family's being formed. It's amazing. It's like when you're working and you're mobilized and you're on a mission, God unifies us. But not only that, maturity happens. When you begin to, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but when you begin to, the body is built, the body is unified, they understand Jesus more. Why do they understand Jesus more? Because there's not just one guy telling you about Jesus. There's a bunch of guys telling you about Jesus, and we're in this thing together. So the reason we need to be more than just Sunday morning guys, Sunday morning gals, is because you are loaded with God-filled potential. You have all kinds of stuff that God's put inside of you waiting to unleash that. And just to be here on Sunday morning, you're not letting God use you to the fullest degree. But second, the reason we need to grow in Christian community or Christian church family is that God wants us stable. He wants us stable. He wants stability today. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure we live in an unstable world. Crazy. Crazy. Wars. Rumors of wars. Even today. Crazy stuff. But when we're with each other in Christian community, when we are with each other and praying for each other, and we allow ourselves to get to know somebody else, when we actually get in a life group and we actually invest in somebody, look what happens, Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be what? What's that word? Little children. Now let's just stop there for a second. We don't like being called little children. Because you know what that implies, don't you? You're babies. You're immature. You got a case of the wah-wahs. Amen? You know? Okay, so the wah-wahs. But he says that when we are growing and we're developing, we will no longer be what? little children. And look what a little child does. Tossed by the waves, blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. If our Christian community grows, our Christian maturity grows as well. Paul says that we won't be little children. Now, what is a little child? You know, a child can easily be manipulated, can they not? You know, if you're a mom and dad, you know that, right? If you eat all your food, you get a sticker. It's the best sticker in the whole world. And all you have to do is take 5 more bites of ravioli, and you get the best sticker ever. That really happened last night in our house, by the way, okay? 5 bites. Of me and Terrence got the little sticker. 5 more bites, Gracie. It's yours, baby. It's yours. It's yours. 5 more. Cost us 50 cents at Target, but buddy, it's yours. It's yours. See, children can't be manipulated. And you're sitting there thinking, man, Kenny, this is not the pastor I want that manipulates my kids, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not like that weird Kool-Aid guy, okay? Hear me on this. Here's what I'm trying to say, is that kids will believe it. What I've noticed is this, is that so many Christians remain so immature in their walk with God. They never grow, they never develop, they never become what God wants them to. So they believe about anything. They turn the TV and some weirdo televangelist is on there saying, you know what, if you give, hallelujah, $20 to my ministry, you'll never get sick, you'll never get cancer, you'll never have family problems, blah, blah, blah. And you know what, honestly, that is such a disgrace for the gospel. Nowhere in Scripture is that taught. Nowhere. I read about the apostles and they all died. Paul was beaten and whipped and went hungry for the gospel. Jesus actually said there would be suffering if you follow him. But so many of us will do that. We'll take our checkbooks out and we'll write blindly to these people that we don't even know who they are. And there's some really good ministries out there. There really are. There's some great ministries that do a lot of good stuff. And I want to encourage you, never give to a ministry unless you know they're solid. Unless you know they're solid. Now, there's lots of good ones that you need to support. But what I'm telling you is this, is that there's a lot of bad ones out there too. And I acknowledge that today. I acknowledge that. But not only are you got to be careful with the health and wealth guys. You'll never get sick. You'll never get all this stuff. Be careful with other stuff that comes around. And if you're not plugged in, you just won't know it. For example, many young Christians find no problem with dealing with horoscopes and things like that. You know, they'll read the horoscope or they'll do it on the Facebook. Guys, don't do that. That's a cultic behavior. That's witchcraft. Don't do that. Horoscopes, things like that. It's not a game. It is ungodly. Don't do that. Our wisdom and our counsel does not come from some woman writing it out, you know, with a little turban on her head. That's not what happens. Our counsel comes from God and through prayer and only through the Lord. Be careful with that junk, man. It's not of God. Hey, they'll believe cult groups. Some group will knock on their door and say, you know what? You've been told the truth, but let me tell you the real truth. If you're not careful, you won't know how to answer them. The next thing you know, they'll be get you tongue-tied. They'll get you nervous. And you say, well, just go away. You close the doors, but now you got a million doubts. Well, Kenny, what's the answer to that? It's to be with other solid Christians and to study the Bible together for what the Bible says. That you're not just listening to some dude on Sunday morning giving it to you, but you're actually studying it for yourself. Hey, I challenge you, double check my references. Double check my scripture text. I ask you, hold me accountable. If I misquote something out of context, tell me. Tell me. Because I'm held to preach the whole counsel of God. I'm held to preach that. I'm not perfect. I might mess up. But if I start telling you that Jesus is going to come back tomorrow with aliens and blue sneakers, you need to check me on that, okay? You need to check me on that. But here's the deal. If we're not with a good, solid Christian community, we will believe this stuff. Cult groups start because immature Christians aren't grounded in the Word. That's why. Christians go into a cultic behavior because they're not grounded. So what's the key? You ready? Good Bible study. Good Bible study. And how does good Bible study happen? You ready? In a life group. Other Christians. Dissecting the Word. And you know what? When I get in the Word, if you have a question and you bring it to me and I don't know the answer, you know what I'm going to tell you? I don't know the answer. But we're going to look it up. We're going to find it together. And that's a reason why you need to be part of a church family. That's why. Because we need each other. A strong biblical worldview is critical. Hey, I want to tell you real quick, I'm thankful for the godly voices that's been in my life. I have to this day, I have at least three men today. Yeah, three men that consistently pour into my life on a weekly basis. They keep me accountable. They keep me straight. I talk to them about my problems. They talk to me. And I freely welcome that in my life. I don't let just anybody do that. Not just anybody. I got three guys in my life that I let do that to me, that check me, and that help me. And I welcome that in my life. I welcome that. We need a good church family to be checked, man. We do. We need a good church family to help us. Third, God wants us cooperating. Now, I love this part. Look what it says. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual. So here's what it says. Jesus is described as the head of the church. And we're described as kind of the limbs and the body parts of the church. Jesus is the head. He's controlling us. We are the arms, we're the feet, we're the fingers, we're the toes, we're the nose, the ears, etc. But Jesus is the brain. He is the one that's controlling us. And according to this, as we follow the leadership of Jesus, and we follow His leadership together as a church family, we function the way He wants us to do. Think about it. If your hand began to do something that your brain doesn't tell it to do, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Good thing or bad thing? Bad thing. You know, we walk around and you know, for your muscles to spasm and things like that, that's not healthy. That's not good. So likewise, when Christians move independently of each other, when a Christian moves away from the head and away from the other body parts, that is unhealthy. That's unhealthy. Well, somebody will say, well, Kenny, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You're right. If you go to church to be a Christian, you're not a Christian. A Christian is only a person that knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That's it. But here's the deal. You can't be obedient as a Christian if you're not involved in a church. You can't be obedient as a Christian. Well, I worship God on the bass boat. Good for you. Praise. I'm glad you're not worshiping Buddha on the bass boat. Praise the Lord. But here's the deal. Are you ready? We must be ready to work with other Christians. How in the world do you work with your other brothers and sisters if you're not involved with them? As Scripture has just told us that you're supposed to do. As it just told us you're supposed to do that. How do you do that? Well, as a church family. As a church family. Now, look what happens when we cooperate together. God begins to touch people's lives. He helps us, the church, to grow. He begins to just do an amazing work. You know what? I imagine that when Life Community charters and we become our own self-sufficient church, I'm excited about the mission trips we're going to take. I'm excited about the new churches that we're going to start. I'm excited about all that because I believe God has something for this congregation. And I believe that's going to take all of us working together, which means that we get plugged in, that we serve. It means that we're part of life groups. It means that we support the church with our tithes and offerings, that we financially support the church. It means that we care for each other, that we pray for each other. We're involved with each other's lives. And I just can't wait to see all the great things that God is doing. God can do so much with this body if we just let Him. If we just let Him. The Lord cares very much for you. He cares so much for you that He would save you just as you are. And He loves you so much He refuses to leave you just as you are. He refuses to do that. He wants to take you on a journey. He wants to equip you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. For many of us, church has become a bit of a show. We come, We do our thing. We punch our card. It's the end. But that's just not what God's wanting us to do. He wants us to know each other, to love each other, to care for each other, and to help each other. You know, there's a story a couple of years ago, back in 97, there was a man by the name of David Huxley. Some of y'all may have watched this on ESPN at the time, but David Huxley had a world record. He could pull airplanes with his body. Isn't that pretty awesome? Would you like that record? Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? You could pull airplanes with your body. Well, in 1997, Huxley decided to break his own world record. So here's what he did. He went to an airport. He strapped a harness over his body. He attached it to a steel cable that was 15 yards long. And one end was on his harness. The other end was tied to a 747 jet airliner. And the story goes, by the way, 187 tons of weight. Huxley got down just in his tennis shoes. He just like Superman or something, it's crazy. He pulled that airplane and got it rolling down the entire runway. Here's the stats. He pulled the 747 100 yards in 1 minute and 21 seconds. Now, I'm pretty tough. I can do that, right? You know? Terry says, my husband's got that. That's what she says. But here's the deal. Many of us are like Huxley. We can do this on our own. Dude, we got it. I don't need any help of anybody else. I got it. And we pull hard. I got this. I got this. Look how awesome I am. Look how cool I am. I'm pulling a church behind me. I got this. If I left the church, they'd close their doors because I'm that awesome, you know? I'm that cool. And I'm chucking, and I'm pulling, and I'm hauling. Boy, I can get this thing down the runway in a minute and some odd seconds. I'm pretty slick. But you know what? If we just got rid of the David Huxley mentality and we took the harness off of us and we got in that cabin of that jet together and we let the captain, who is Jesus Christ, fire up those engines and we let him switch on that buckle your safety belt sign and we let him fire those bad boys up, you want to know something? That church is going to go a lot farther than 100 yards down a runway. That church is going to take off. It's going to soar. It's going to break the clouds. It's going to break the speed barrier. Why? Because God is always in control, and when we move with Him, He'll do more than any single one of us ever will. Ever will. Ever will. Ever will. If we're together, you hear me? As a Christian community, we're together, and we let Jesus be the captain. So today, as we come to a conclusion, I ask you this question, the very last question. It's on your program. Am I part of the crowd or am I part of the community? Am I part of the Sunday morning deal or am I involved in the life of the church? Maybe today, here's your next steps. You've never given your life to Jesus. Friend, church does not save you. It's wonderful, it's beautiful, but only the blood of Jesus does that. Only Christ can save you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I challenge you to pray and ask the Lord in your life today. But second, maybe you are a believer and you're considering and praying about the next step. Should I be part of a church family? My prayer today is that you will go through one-on-one class, that you'll take those next steps, that you will press forward with church membership. And third, here's the deal. Maybe today you're here. It's been a year as a church, almost a year. We're right at a year. But maybe in 1 year you started strong the first half, and in the second half you've slid out. Maybe today you'll slide back in and you'll let God be God. Friends, Christ died for us to take us to heaven, yes. But He also died to give us salvation of sin and forgiveness, yes. And He also died so that we could be together as a family. Never forget that. There's no need to do life alone. God has a family for you. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You. We thank You for Jesus. Lord, in this moment now, we ask you to stir our hearts into next steps, to stir our hearts into what you have for us. God, may you, Lord, let us know today that it's not about doing life alone. It's not about becoming a great, big old church, Lord. It's about becoming a healthy church. And it's about being together. Lord, it is about reaching people, and we must reach people. But Lord, when we reach them, we also have to help them grow and be connected. So, Father, I ask you to do that today in our lives, in our church. So, Father, move today in a great way. Move in our lives. Father, we pray today, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, that they give their life to you and would be saved. God, I pray they wouldn't leave this room without knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So, Father, thank you for all you do. Minister to us, we pray in your name. Amen. As we stand, maybe you need to come to the cross today and pray. Maybe you need me to pray with you. Maybe you need to make a decision. Would you let God be God as we sing?